You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the last day of finals for Richland College students, so I wish those that have an evening class good luck on their finals. I'm through with mine. I have to take one course to have access to the studio. So this semester I decided to take a physical geology course, and I believe I aced it. I usually do because I study, I actually read the material, prepare, and do well. And I'll probably have a separate, probably next year, my thoughts on what's happening to college education, because I really do think we have some problems there. And it deserves a separate show. But for those that are now done, relax. You have to January, I believe, 20th or 21st is when the next semester starts. So register for those courses. I've already decided to take the second geology course because I need to take one course. And I'm fully subsidized. Although it's against my principles, they subsidize students. And I'm one of those lucky students that get subsidized. So fine. In other words, I don't pay for it. Now that has to do something with my age. They have an emeritus program. So if you reach a certain age, there's no additional fees. I urge people of my age, senior citizens, I hate that phrase, but to take advantage of it, and a lot of people do that. Now, let's get on more serious subjects, because, and this is a real serious subject. If you look at what is in the news today and has been in the news this week, there are really three stories. Two are major, one is an ongoing situation, and I'm going to really focus on just one. And hopefully tomorrow I'll have a lot more time, not as much time as I usually do because the paper's no longer publishing, but I'll have at least an hour or 2 hour show depending on when I start. But the two stories that are dominating the news today, yesterday, and probably to the end of the week, and I think we'll go beyond the end of the week, is the so-called CIA torture report. It is really the Senate Intelligence Committee's, headed by California Senator Dianne Feinstein's, report or staff report. It's over 6,000 pages. It was tens of millions of dollars of cost was involved. And it's been characterized as a hatchet job, one-sided. And I tend to go along with it, but I don't have time to read 6,000 pages. I really don't even have time to read 500 pages. So I'm really basing my opinions on what people have said. And the gist of it is, if you're going to accuse CIA agents of actions that you find reprehensible, I think before you do that and put it in a report and issue the report, as a minimum, you need to hear their side of the story. Now, that can be challenging because CIA employees, especially those that have not retired, but even those that have, are not at liberty to disclose what they did when they worked for the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, there's an important point here, though. The Senate Intelligence Committee has oversight jurisdiction of the Central Intelligence Agency. So if they are called to testify, whether in a closed session or to the staff as they're preparing their report, they have an obligation to tell them what they did. Now, some might volunteer that. Others might say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to incriminate myself. But as a minimum, and this is important, I think this is the, probably the most valid point of criticism of the committee, is they got to hear both sides, or at least give the other side a chance to tell what was going on. And apparently that wasn't done. The reason, and initially I fell into this trap, I said, well, why is the committee at this point in time going forward with this report? The Senate Intelligence Agency, because it's responsible for oversight of the CIA, needs to get both sides of the story here. And that is the big objection we're hearing from everyone, both in the media, as well as retired personnel of the CIA, as well as former administration personnel, namely Vice President Cheney. And I can understand why. Now, let me character, I'm going to be critical of both the Republicans and the Democrats here, because Cheney raised an interesting question. And it is a tough, well, I don't think it's that tough, but it is a question. And let me phrase it this way. Do the ends justify the means? Do the ends justify the means? Some people, and they're primarily collectivist, whether they know it or not, and that includes progressives, and that can be Democrats and Republicans, will do believe that the ends justify the means. In other words, if the end is a valid one, whatever their objective is, then whatever means they use to accomplish that end are completely justified. There is the danger, folks. And part of the danger is this: what you think the end is and think it's justified, other people can disagree. And even where they don't disagree on the end, they do disagree with your proposition that the any means is justified. Now, let's do the tough case here. And the tough case is this. On September 11th, 2001, the World Trade Center was attacked by terrorists, Al-Qaeda terrorists. I believe there were 19. I'm a little confused on the numbers here, but I think the total number were 19, on three separate planes. Four separate planes. Two of those planes were jet passenger planes that flew in the World Trade Center. You've all seen the pictures. One flew in the Pentagon, and I'm not going to get into the conspiracy people that say there was no plane that went in the Pentagon. And then the fourth plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, because the passengers wrestled or tried to wrestle control of the plane from the terrorists, and it crashed. And nearly 3,000 people died, either immediately, some a little bit later. This was the first time, really since Hawaii, that there was attack on the homeland, first time on the continental United States. And it was Al-Qaeda that was responsible, that planned it, executed, and they were successful. And they brought down two major towers, a lot of real estate, a lot of office buildings, and thousands died. Several thousands died, and not just American citizens, from many countries. The problem here was, this was not a foreign government or a state. This is a non-state, namely Al-Qaeda organization, that was attacking this country. Now, I've said in past shows, and I'll say again, this was by far the single biggest intelligence failure of the United States government, and probably in the world, in terms of not preventing it or anticipating it and try to stop it. It was a failure, folks. And normally when you have a failure of this size, people get fired and things change. Well, things changed, but nobody was really fired. And that's part of the problem. Now, who were the two agencies that really have primary responsibility for gathering intelligence, mainly on foreign governments, but also on non-state actors such as Al-Qaeda? That is the National Security Agency, as well as the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, there are other organizations. The Defense Intelligence Agency and the various services have their own intelligence services. And you also have the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So there was a lot of egg, and it's more than egg, a lot of blood on the hands of our intelligence establishment for not preventing this. It was a failure. The United States spends billions of dollars And I'm talking over $100 billion. Probably, if you add all those agencies up, probably approaching $200 billion. Because a lot of these numbers are buried in budgets. You can't really get at them. They're so-called black budgets. So the American taxpayer sends taxes to the federal government, and somewhere between $100 and $200 billion every year. And that's a fairly good ballpark, by the way. It's the best I can do. I don't have really the resources to try to nail that down, and it would be difficult to do that because even foreign governments have a problem doing that. But the United States spends a lot of money in gathering various types of intelligence, primarily signals intelligence, which means the budget of the National Security Agency is anywhere from 7 to 8 times or more than the Central Intelligence Agency. And that does not include any of the defense intelligence organizations, both for the Department of Defense and the individual services, nor does it include the FBI's portion. But the primary responsibility for signals intelligence is the NSA. And they've been in the news and been criticized for invading the privacy of American citizens. And they have been doing it since after 9/11, as a result of 9/11, and they continue to this very day. It's really the wholesale collection and storage of virtually, or as much as they can, of any communications not only American citizens engage in, but also foreign nationals engage in. And that's the problem. I have no problem with the National Security Agency spying on other nations, primarily governments, but also their citizens, in particular those that are enemies of the United States and do not wish the United States, its people, well. That's a legitimate role for the National Security Agency. We need a National Security Agency. We do need a Central Intelligence Agency. And we also need military intelligence. Now, I'm saying that up front because you might get the impression that I'm against the CIA, NSA, as well as various DOD defense organizations involved with intelligence gathering. No, I'm not. I'm a supporter of that. And the reason is very simple. There are evil people out there that do not wish the United States, its people, its property well and wishes ill. And on September 11, 2001, we saw what that meant. And nearly 3,000 or roughly 3,000 people died. And it wasn't prevented. So what was the reaction to that event? And what was the fear in Washington, D.C., amongst what I call the political elitist establishment? They were afraid because one of those planes was most likely going to either target the Capitol building, which I think was the primary target, or the White House. I tend to lean towards the Capitol building because that would have got a lot of attention. The president wasn't in the White House that day. Now, maybe the terrorists didn't know that, but fortunately, Washington, D.C., and our representatives in the House, as well as our senators in the Senate, were spared. But they were most likely the target of that other plane that fortunately crashed in Pennsylvania but killed all the passengers. Now, I'm giving you this background for a reason. The Senate Democrats have gone after the Central Intelligence Agency. They have literally thrown government employees, the bureaucracy, the people that work for the CIA, make a career, that spend literally years, decades of their lives trying to provide adequate intelligence to prevent a 9/11. And it's not necessarily, if you're one of our agents over there, you're literally risking your life if you're exposed. You're spying on other nations and you're trying to get other people to betray their nations or whoever they work for and provide you with information. It is a very dangerous job. And it's not highly rewarded, and it's certainly not appreciated. I appreciate that. I understand that, and I appreciate that. Now, I think what the Senate Intelligence Committee did is reprehensible, because the report, just on its face, simply is not balanced. It's not objective. It had an axe to grind. And the timing was motivated on the fact that the Democratic Party has lost the trust of the American people, and many senators, as well as representatives, have been, both in the last election and the previous two elections, voted out of office. So the Democratic Party in early January are losing control of the Senate. And Senator Feinstein has been chairman of that Intelligence Committee. So she took it upon herself, with the support, and I emphasize this, with the support of the Democratic senators on that committee, as well as some Republicans that should know better, such as John McCain, and they released it, even though it potentially put American lives, I don't think of any potential about it, I think it puts the lives of Americans in danger, not only government employees working for the State Department or the CIA or anyone working for the government of the United States abroad, but any Americans abroad. Because our enemies will be reading that report. I literally don't have the time and did not have the time to read it. I'm going to make an attempt at some date to read more about it. But given the reactions of, for example, former CIA employees, I think they have a very legitimate complaint. And it's been described as throwing the CIA under the bus. I think that's a fair description of it. But what's more dangerous about it, it puts American lives at risk. Why? Because you had a senator that wanted to issue this report. After spending many, many years, many, many dollars, they wanted to get the report out no matter what. They issued first the executive summary is about 500 pages, and the whole report is about 6,000, as I understand. And they're making the assertion that the so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, EITs, were torture. Now, you will get an argument on that. And because I was in the military, I went through basic training and survival training, nowhere near what someone that's a combat pilot or special operators go through. But as part of the training, You're given certain survival techniques and the fact that you could be captured and interrogated. So a lot of the techniques that we were using on the terrorists, such as waterboarding, have been used in training U.S. military personnel, as well as special operators who can either work for the CIA or work for the military. Not everyone goes through this training, but people that could be captured. So they have a good idea of what they can expect when they're in the hands of enemies in terms of interrogation. Now, that doesn't justify anything, but that needs to be said. We're not talking about cutting off fingers, beating people, or beating people to death. We're not talking about that, or electrocuting them. We're talking about sleep deprivation. In other words, keep people awake through running loud music, lights being on, limiting the food they have. In other words, making your life rather miserable. Now, but who are we talking about? This is something that's the key, and this is why I set this up. Most of these people were and are, and most of them are alive today, they were terrorists. They were enemies of the United States. One actually planned the attack of 9/11 on September 11, 2001. Most worked for and were involved with Al-Qaeda. Not all of them, but most of them. Some of these individuals many of these individuals were interrogated abroad in so-called black sites that other governments were responsible for. In other words, they ran them. And our interrogators, both from the Central Intelligence Agency and as well as the FBI, would interrogate them here initially and many times abroad, as well as interrogators from those governments. I am opposed to torture. Let me get that right up front, so there's no misunderstanding of what I'm saying. However, and this is the big but here, what you might consider torture, I wouldn't. And conversely, what some people consider torture, I don't consider sleep deprivation necessarily torture. It depends on how long it goes. And I have been in situations, and I'm not talking about studying for exam in college. Let me back up. I was a fraternity member, and I went through what's called Hell Week. And it was a week. Now, for those that are not fraternity members, this fraternity is a nationally known fraternity. This was a chapter. Most of what we did during Hell Week involved the maintenance, repair, and cleaning up of the fraternity house. That's primarily what we did. Yes, we did some exercises such as push-ups, things like that. And we were more or less deprived of sleep. We got very few hours of sleep. And I know that for a fact because after Hell Week was up, I stayed at my aunt's house. This was in New York City, and I think I slept for 3 solid days. I was that tired. And that's what happens if you're deprived of sleep. But that was just part of the initiation. And I'm not worse for wear. Were we was the fraternity careful about this? Yes, they were, because we did, for example, have one individual that had medical problems, and he did not go through that part of the initiation. He went through the he spent hours assisting the other would-be members in primarily cleaning up and doing painting of a fraternity house. Now, in the military services, when you go through training, you have similar types of Hell Weeks, some even a lot more severe, such as the Navy SEALs come to mind, where literally they're trying to break you. They're trying to get you to drop out. That's what, to a certain extent, just basic training is about, as well as when you're trying for a more elite group. They only want to select what they, in their standards, consider the best. So many of the techniques that were used by the CIA were also used by the military to try to elicit information. Now, there's 2 points, and there are two sides to this story. One school of thought is that if you torture someone, yeah, you're going to get them to talk, but it's unreliable. First of all, that's not true. People do break and do provide you the information. However, there are some people that just won't break no matter what the techniques are used. And I need to quickly say, many of the nations, many of them are allies, use torture. They're not nice guys. They're authoritarians, dictators, tyrants, totalitarian, whatever description is, they're not good guys. And if you become suspect and are considered a dissident, yeah, they'll arrest you and they'll torture you and they'll probably kill you unless they have a other use for you, namely to turn you and spy on wherever organization you represent. So torture is and has been and will continue into the future be used worldwide. It's nothing new. It's been going on for thousands of years. Call it evil, call it what you want. There are people out there that will torture people for whatever their ends are. And it's usually power, money, wealth, whatever. And unfortunately, many of the people that the United States does business with employ torture. Now, it's not going to be advertised by the United States, nor is this going to be advertised by the various governments, but it's well known and understood. Now, here is the tough question. And we've had television series about this, and I have really had not, I don't have a television at home. I have seen some episodes of, I think it's 24/7 or 24 hours, whatever it is. It's not on the air anymore, is my understanding, but you can buy it and play it. And it's on Netflix. I had an opportunity to watch several of those shows, or most of 1 or 2 seasons. And the problem is, you get a hold of people that you believe are terrorists. You might not be sure, but most cases you are. And you know they're planning something that could be catastrophic in terms of the United States. And what I mean by this, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands could lose their lives. The extreme case is the detonation of a nuclear weapon in a city in the United States. And you have intelligence that one individual or group individual is planning this. You have now in your custody one of these individuals. What do you do about it? Are there any limits? Do the ends justify the means? And this is the rough case. And I'll give you my position. I say seldom, if ever, do the ends justify the means. Seldom, if ever. Are there exceptions? There can be, but it's rare. That's my position. Now, here's the problem. You have politicians, Democrats, Republicans, but many of them are what I call the general category are collectivists. That could be kings, queens, dictators, socialists, communists, capitalists, that believe the ends justify the means. They firmly believe it, and they will lie about what they're doing, and that's one of the means. Lying is one of the means, and they lie and they lie and they lie about their intentions, and they justify it to themselves and to the people that are a part of this. Is the ends justify the means? Let me give you a small example. The left in this country, the Democratic Party, the progressives, for going on 100 years, want the government to take control of healthcare. Their goal is to have the government run, operate healthcare for everybody. They want healthcare for everybody. That's the end. Now, in the United States recently, this was characterized as single payer, where the single payer is the government, providing every citizen with healthcare. In other words, if you're a U.S. citizen, you would have access to a doctor and hospital whenever you need it. And that has been their dream, their goal, for upwards of 100 years. It is not new, and countries, especially in Western Europe, United Kingdom, have had this type of system. In the United States, it's been rejected, rejected, rejected. Not entirely, but mostly. So when President Obama got elected, and the Democrats controlled both the House and the Senate, they finally pushed in, not single payer. That was their goal, folks. No ifs, ands, or buts. But they simply did not have the votes to put into law a single payer system. So what did they do? They passed the Affordable Care Act, full name the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And it's usually referred to as Obamacare. And they lied about it. Now, I didn't fall for their lies, but they lied about it primarily to their own political base. And through various political shenanigans, they got it passed by one vote. And now it's causing damage in this country in terms of jobs and the fact that people that prior to this were satisfied with their own health insurance, either provided by their employer or if they were individuals or self-employed, that they went out and bought. The majority of the American people that had health insurance through their employers, as well as if they were individuals, bought their own coverage, overwhelmingly were satisfied with it, 80 to 90%. But what did the Democrats want? They wanted single payer. They couldn't get it passed, so they passed Obamacare. A big bill, thousands of pages. And no one really, and I tried to read that bill. It is almost impossible because you're always referring, as you read it, to a section or of a other law or a regulation. And it would take you probably years, if you were so inclined and could afford to do that, to really do an analysis. But the American people were lied to. And the people, and that includes, it was done by President Obama as well as the leadership in the Democratic Party. And lo and behold, the lies have been revealed. The Americans could not keep their plans that they thought they could keep. They couldn't keep the doctors that they thought they could keep. And they weren't going to save any money. Lies, lies, lies. But the end justifies the means. And the Democratic Party and the people in the Democratic Party, if you ask them, what are you? Most will say, I'm a progressive. Some older will say, I'm a liberal. What they're about is expanding the size and the role of the federal government. They are collectivists. It's a form of collectivism. And there are true believers that the end justifies the means. Now, they're not just Democrats that are progressive. And you need to be very careful about this. There are a lot of Republicans, some of them who claim they're conservatives, and some of them will say they're neoconservatives, also believe that the ends justify the means. Now I'm going to shift the ends. The ends is we must protect the American people at all cost against another attack such as 9/11. Now I agree with the end. I don't agree with the end in terms of single payer. A matter of fact, I adamantly oppose it, and that's part of the problem with the ends justify the means. While you might think the end is noble and right and the best possible solution, many other people legitimately will not agree with you. And then you have the problem, what do you do about that? Do you kill them? Do you torture them? Do you tax them to death? Do you steal their property? Remember, you cross that line when you say the ends justify the means. And the problem that the left has, and it is a big problem, but they're not the only ones. And don't fall for the trap, it's just on the left. It's also on the right. See, the problem, ladies and gentlemen, it's collectivism. And they believe in this philosophy that the ends justify the means, and the collective is more important than the individual. They believe it. I don't. I'm an individualist. And why I think ends are important, principles are important, and the means you use to accomplish an end must be right and just or moral, ethical. So no matter what the means are, well, no matter what the end is, you still have to have the appropriate means. In other words, the ends do not justify the means. Now I'm giving this two examples for a reason. We see this problem over and over again. And to confuse you, there are politicians, including Obama, that will state, no, the American value is that the ends do not justify the means. He'll say that. That's what he says. But what means does this president use every day to accomplish his goal and agenda? He lies. He lies. He doesn't tell the truth. He misleads you. He'll distract you, mislead you, but in essence, it's lying to you. And he does that, and he justifies it in his mind because his ends are noble. They're good. And therefore, any means is okay. Now, here's the rub. Obamacare is a domestic situation. Right now, across this nation, the United States government, including the Central Intelligence Agency, including our military services, such as the Air Force, are flying drones, unmanned vehicles. Some are used simply for surveillance, but others are armed with missiles and have been and will be in the future used to kill terrorists. Now, I agree that if you have good intelligence, that there are situations where if that is the only means of stopping a terrorist, that I think, you can make that case, then you're justified in using those drones. And I think most Americans would agree with that. But here is the problem. And here's why once you cross that line, that whatever, if the ends are justified, then the means don't matter. You've crossed the line. What has happened? And we have drones flying over five countries, the last time I checked. A lot of civilians are being killed. Innocents are being killed. Yeah, we can take out the terrorists, but does that justify taking out a dozen or two dozen people that might be his family, relatives, or just people that are, in the neighborhood? Now, the collectivist will say yes. Are you crazy? He's a terrorist. There's always collateral damage. Have we declared war against these people? No, not really. And some of them are actually U.S. citizens. You see, we've crossed that line. And as much as you can criticize so-called enhanced interrogation techniques that some would call torture, I think far worse is the use of drones where you run the high risk, and I would say the high probability, a certainty, of killing innocent people. And the problem with that is, yes, you probably will be successful. But what have you done when you kill innocent people in a country? That will be remembered for generations. You're creating more terrorists. That is the danger of using inappropriate means. So while you might accomplish your immediate mission and take out a terrorist that we know is a terrorist, that we know has killed and responsible for the deaths of Americans, does that give you justification to kill tens, hundreds of innocent people? I would say no, especially where the nation has, and here's the problem, they're not, most of these terrorists are not what is called state actors. This is not government or state-sponsored terrorism. This is a group that's really not in control of a state. They're beyond the state, if you will. But the United States today is doing that under the direct orders of the President of the United States. Is it advertised? No, it's not. Occasionally you'll hear press reports on it. But I'm trying to make a moral equivalence here and trying to understand something. Killing innocent civilians by drones is okay, but torturing terrorists is not okay. I'm hard-pressed to follow the logic here, because let's assume for a moment you're successful in killing the terrorist, but in the process, kill his family, friends, and acquaintance that are not terrorists. They just happen to be related to the guy. And as a result, you create more people that hate the United States and ultimately will attack Americans that happen to be in their country or where they can get a hold of them. You see, the problem with the drone program, it needs intelligence, actionable intelligence as to where this person is. That's usually signals intelligence. Occasionally, it's so-called human intelligence, people on the ground that are informing on them, but it's primarily intercepts by the National Security Agency. And over time, we track these people because they're using typically phones or other means of communications, computers, emails. But if you don't have that or you don't have enough information, you're running a high risk of killing the wrong person. And that's happened. Now, it's not advertised. I find that reprehensible. I don't want, in the name of the United States government, for that to happen. You see, I think it's far better to try to capture these terrorists. Why? For the simple reason, if you kill them, you don't get any intelligence. You don't know what they are planning. You don't know who's involved. That's the short-sightedness of this drone program. And that's one of the problems with the U.S. intelligence community and our military. We go for the technology. You know, just this week it was announced that I believe the U.S. Corps of Engineers is going to build a base or letting contracts out to build a base near Fort Bliss in El Paso to repair drones and have a facility where they can fly the drones, probably to protect the U.S. border. I'm all for protecting the U.S. border. And that's, I think, a legitimate use of technology. But when you're dealing with terrorists that really want to attack U.S. citizens abroad, as well as the U.S. military, and eventually maybe bring it back to the United States, you need intelligence. And when you kill these terrorists, you're cutting all possibility of future intelligence. It seems like the perfect, easy solution, but it isn't. It's really a short-term solution that eventually dries up And when the intelligence starts to dry up, what tends to go up? We kill the wrong people. That's why I think in the long term, it's very much counterproductive, because you're creating future enemies of the United States, future terrorists that want to kill Americans, and that endangers any American that is traveling, working in that country, whether it's for the United States government, nonprofit or non-government organization, aid workers, relief workers. You're putting all those people at risk. The same is true when the Senate Intelligence Committee released this report. I'm looking at the time. I only have a few minutes left. But I want to connect a very, very important dot. The Central Intelligence Agency and the people that work for it, they know where, quote, the bodies are buried. They know where the scandals are. They know of activities that the powers that be, the president, the political appointees of both administrations, would rather not be exposed. And those employees are very much restricted in as to what they can legitimately disclose. But they know where the bodies are buried. They know what's sensitive. And when you throw their employees, the phrase is, under the bus, by subjecting them to potentially be prosecuted either by United States or foreign, namely United Nations or international organizations, and that their actions that were ordered by the presidents, both this one and next one, could be subject to putting them at risk and be prosecuted, lose their jobs, their pensions, but also be thrown in jail when they thought they were following legitimate orders, and that's what they're looking at, you've made a serious mistake. For example, I was in the Air Force, and unfortunately, my eyesight was poor, so I never really could be a pilot in the Air Force. I could have gone to the Air Force Academy, but for my eyes. When I was applying, everyone became a pilot. Not anymore. They've changed those rules. But those are the rules then. But my ambition was to be a pilot, be a fighter pilot. But unfortunately, junior, senior year, my eyesight went to hell because I read a lot. However, now we have people, they're pilots. Many of them, though, they've never been in an airplane. Some have, but a lot haven't. They fly these drones. They're sitting in an airbase, Creech Air Base outside of Las Vegas, and flying these drones. And there are some of the individuals, but also the CIA is involved flying their drones, that are these drones are used not only for surveillance, but for killing terrorists. They have missiles. They have weapons that they can fire, but they're not over there. They're in Nevada. Or they're in another remote site, but they're not over the territory that these drones are. And they're killing. And they're killing what they think are terrorists. Now, if I heard someone say, and I tend to agree with this, I would tell that person to stop it. Get another job. Either resign your commission or try to get another other job. Why? Because for the very reason what Senator Feinstein did, for political reasons, you could have a future administration go after those pilots, both in the United States and abroad, for committing crimes. And I know what the people there are going to say. I was just following orders. Well, so did the Nazis. They said, I was just following orders. That's not an excuse. It's very much second guessing. But I want to bring it back to 9-1-1. After 9-1-1, the politicians were throwing money at the Central Intelligence Agency, throwing money at the National Security Agency. And what they were, in essence, were saying, we don't want to happen again. Stop this. Whatever you need to do, stop it. We're not going to ask questions. Here's the money. Do it. Get it done. We're okay with that. We're not going to second guess you. Now the people in the Central Intelligence Agency and other organizations, they need to cover their rear end, CYA. They made sure they had the proper authorizations. You're all right with this? Because in some instances, they were crossing lines. And in normal situations, would get you arrested and thrown in jail by the FBI. And they're law-abiding Americans trying to do their jobs. but they don't want to obey orders that they would consider illegal. And see, that's the danger. People have rather short memories, including the Democrats. Now, with very few minutes, I'm going to make the connection. Senator Feinstein was interviewed on CNN, and she pointed out that the reason why they released the report in terms of the timing was the fact that the Democratic Party was going to lose control of the Senate, and she feared that once the Republicans in January control the Senate, as well as the Intelligence Committee, this report would be buried. In other words, it never would see the light of day. So she released it, even though it could endanger Americans, even though it is a very flawed report, it's very one-sided, it's very biased, and frankly, I think a bad mistake. Now, and probably most people would say, well, that's probably the reason, but there's another reason. And here's where the administration is scurrying, trying to put what I say is the genie back in the bottle. You see, the Central Intelligence Agency, one of the things that they do besides gathering intelligence is covert operations. And covert operations, as the name implies, are not to be known by the American people, and more importantly, not to be known by the press or the other governments. It's supposed to be secret, not known. But what happened on September 11th of 2012? It's Benghazi in Libya, where four Americans were killed. Now, most of the attention has been focused on, did they have adequate security? Who was there? Why wasn't there adequate security? And all those questions need to be asked, but are the important questions going to be answered? And what is the big important question that needs to be answered and may not be answered? Why was the Central Intelligence Agency in Benghazi? Why were they there and what were they doing? Why were they there? What were they doing? There's a lot of speculation, but there also been a lot of reports that what they were doing, never confirmed by the White House, never confirmed by the CIA, but fairly well known, that the Central Intelligence Agency was gathering up armaments, including surface-to-air missiles, that can take down not only military aircraft, such as helicopters, transport planes, as well as jet fighters, but also could shoot down jet aircraft, passenger jets. And Gaddafi had upwards of 20,000 of these missiles. That's a lot of missiles. Why, about half were accounted for, at least 10,000 or more weren't. And a lot of these missiles got in the hands of so-called Libyan rebels that we were backing to overthrow the Gaddafi government. And many of those so-called Libyan rebels had affiliations with al-Qaeda. They were radical, fanatic fundamentalists, and that was the problem. And so the CIA was gathering up these missiles, as well as other armaments, from various sources and arranging for their shipment through Turkey to Syria to be given to so-called, quote-unquote, moderate Syrian rebels. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as a moderate Syrian rebel. Today, virtually all the Syrian rebels are religious fanatics of the Islamic faith. Most are, in one way or other, allied to al-Qaeda, or today the Islamic State. Yeah, there are many groups, and they are trying to overthrow the Assad regime. But why they really want to overthrow the Assad regime, and so does the United States, they're no friends of the United States or its citizens. Yeah, they'll take our arms if we give them to it. They'll take our money. But if they're in a position to slit our throats, they'll do that too. And see, the problem is that was the covert operation. And who ordered this? The President of the United States ordered it. He has to sign a finding because the Central Intelligence Agency won't go forward unless it gets a finding, unless it's what's called completely off the books. In other words, there's no finding. But usually there's a finding, and I believe there was a finding signed. And the problem is, there's also a law. I need to say this. To listen to my show, you go to the pronkpops.wordpress.com companion website to this show. At the very top, you'll have links to my most recent 60 to 80 shows. The very bottom, links to all my shows except some of the very earlier ones. But in between, you'll have a lot of information. And I still don't have all the information I want to get up there. But I'm pointing this out. There's a law that makes it illegal to supply or give any kind of assistance to terrorists. It's on the books. It's still on the books. And anyone, and includes the President of the United States that does this, as well as some of the CIA agents that do this, even though there was a finding, it's a crime. It's a felony. It's an impeachable offense. Now, what you need to understand about this finding is that a total of eight people in Congress need to be notified when a finding is issued, and what's the general purpose of the finding. Who are they? It is the chairman of both the Senate and the House Intelligence Committee, as well as the ranking minority member of the Senate Intelligence and House Committee, as well as the House leadership, the Speaker of the House, the Senate Majority Leader, as well as the Minority Leader. So a total of eight people need to be told about this. Four are Democrats, four are Republicans. And guess what? Senator Feinstein was chairman of the Senate Intelligence Agency, and she will be until January. She was briefed on this. She knew what President Obama was doing, and whether she knows it or not, he was committing a crime. Some would say treason, definitely an impeachable offense. And when it comes out that four leading Republicans as well as four leading Democrats knew all about it, the American people are not going to be happy, especially when they learn that some of the weapons that were transferred were these missiles that could shoot down American airliners. And God forbid any of them get to the United States and do that. Because what I'm asking and what millions of Americans are asking, are you out of your mind? You're supplying weapons to the sworn enemies of the American people and its government, Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, and the other religious fanatics in Syria? Are you crazy? And that's what's supposedly being investigated as we speak by the Select Committee of a House investigating Benghazi. What happened before, during, and after? Now, what I'm waiting to see is whether or not this committee has the courage, the integrity, to put this on the record, to bring is the wrong word, subpoena several of these Central Intelligence agents, the employees that were in Benghazi, and in an open committee meeting with television cameras running, have them testify as to exactly what they were doing in Benghazi. And then the question is going to be asked, who in the House and who in the Senate knew of this? Because the American people and their representatives, and I would say the overwhelming majority of the American people, would never have approved of this. You see, this is why the question you need to really address. Do the ends justify the means? I'm sure the President of the United States would say, well, the ends, overthrowing the Assad regime, justified the means of shipping, using the CIA to gather up these weapons and ship it to these so-called Syrian rebels, moderate Syrian rebels. Now, why was Benghazi attacked? Why did they go after if we're going to supply him the arms? The president eventually got cold feet, and he stopped it because he was getting information, he was getting intelligence, that these so-called Syrian rebels were not moderates. They were fanatics. They were Al-Qaeda affiliates, some directly Al-Qaeda, some not, but no friend to the United States government, the American people. They'll take our money and take our arms, And at the first chance they get, they'll turn them on the American people. And that is exactly what is happening today, both in Syria and Iraq, by the Islamic State. Remember, the Islamic State, before it had several name changes, its original name was Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And it was defeated by the U.S. military during the surge and the years following it. It is only after Obama pulled out all our military personnel that this organization was successful in Syria and now successful in Iraq. You see, chickens do come home to roost. And the Democratic Party, especially Senator Feinstein and the people on that committee, made a fundamental mistake. Now you have career personnel that risk their lives every day in the Central Intelligence Agency, have seen what the politicians are doing to them and to the agency. They risk their lives. They are not well paid. They're government employees. But when you go after them, especially if you don't even give them the chance to tell their side of the story, what do you think the reaction is going to be? There's going to be payback here. There's going to be pushback and payback, big time payback. You see, this administration has gone to extreme lengths to prevent Congress from investigating what happened at Benghazi. They have been very, very slow in releasing all the documents. And that's just the first step, because anyone investigating this has to read the documents and then get a list of the people that they want as witnesses so they can ask questions, follow-up questions, depending on what's in the documents. And who would be the obvious choice to question? Yes, the Central Intelligence agents and their contract employees that were in Benghazi, and that is what the administration has gone to extreme lengths to make sure they did not get a list of their names, and these people were transferred all over the world, making it almost impossible to get them to testify, and also trying to go after them to make sure that they haven't talked to anyone in the Congress or anyone in the news media by periodically subjecting them to a lie detectors. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate Intelligence Committee has politicized what happened to defend this country against terrorists. I'm not saying whether this is torture or not. I don't know. I don't have all the evidence, and I don't have access to those people. And their end was to protect the United States and its people, to prevent another 9-1-1 attack. And I think it has been successful. There's no way to prove it, except we haven't had an attack, thank God. And it's primarily the National Security Agency and the Central Intelligence Agency, as well as military intelligence agency, when they finally woke up to the fact that, hey, we have a big problem here, that I think has prevented it. And now Senator Feinstein is getting on her high moral horse when she was briefed about exactly what the Central Intelligence Agency was doing. Every detail, no. She has a rather selective recall here, because all the Democrats, all the Republicans, they knew that the American people, they didn't want a recurrence of this. And President Bush, to his credit, as well as Vice President Cheney, they made this their first priority to prevent a future attack, whether it's one similar to 9-1-1 or worse, whether a nuclear or biological or chemical attack. And that was still a real possibility, because 9-1-1 started out as a massive intelligence failure. In other words, the NSA and the CIA and other parts of the establishment better get their act together, and apparently to a certain extent they have. And that meant they used enhanced interrogation techniques that some would characterize as torture, some wouldn't. But they were sensitive enough to get legal opinions. And the president, the vice president, the chain of command were briefed on it, as were the House and the Senate. And you now do not attack the Central Intelligence Agency the way this report is doing. I say shame, Shame on Senator Feinstein and the Democratic Party and the staff for doing this. And you will be paid back. You better believe that the employees and retired employees will make sure that happens. And I think where you'll see it happen is when one or more of the CIA agents and contract employees testify in front of the Select House Committee investigating Benghazi. And that's what the president is concerned about. That is what the Central Intelligence Agency director is concerned about. And so now is the Democratic Party. In other words, this Democratic Party war on the CIA is a big mistake. It got out of hand because a staff and several senators panicked and wanted to play politics with it. Well, when you start to play politics with other people's lives, they tend to first not trust you, but they're going to defend themselves, which is rightfully what they should do. I don't think we've heard the last of this. And as more details come out, don't be surprised that sometime next year, we might finally get to the bottom as to why the Central Intelligence Agency and why Ambassador Stevens were in Benghazi, a high-risk area where the British, the Red Cross, left the area. It was too dangerous, and we didn't have the security there to really protect our people. Why were we running these high risks? It gets back to the question, the ends justify the means. We thought the end of overthrowing Assad by supplying weapons and training to the Syrian rebels, that was justified. That those means that are highly questionable and illegal were justified because our ends were right. But Americans, many Americans, both in the Senate and the House, and American citizens would say, Mr. President, are you out of your mind? You're supplying arms to terrorists? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? You see, this was a covert action that was never going to see the light of day. And that's why they went forward with this high risk, I would say adventure, that has now turned into a major scandal that's not hard to understand. And American citizens have died. And now people in the CIA and the Air Force and the military are all reevaluating their situation. Because if the politicians are going to have this rather short memory, they're going to protect themselves. Like all bureaucrats, they know what CYA means. Cover your ass. They don't want to be hung out to dry. They don't want to be the fall guy or the scapegoat when the politicians, the people making the decisions and the policies that knew about this ordered that, and our representatives were informed, and now you go after the operators that accomplished these objectives? I think that is not only insulting and dangerous and somewhat unprecedented, it's foolish. It never should have gotten to this situation at all. And you can be as morally outraged as you want, but you need to take the big picture. And see, this is the problem when you have many of the people on the left and the right, Republicans and Democrats, that truly believe that the ends justify the means. That is a slippery slope with many unintended consequences, and that will come back to haunt you and hurt you. Because people are going to defend themselves. They're not going to stand for this. And the American people are not going to stand for this. Because this is the actions of tyrants, of an oligarchy, or what I call a political elitist establishment that has gone over the line, way over the line. And the American people are demanding that their representatives take action. And ultimately, that will mean the impeachment of President Obama for way exceeding his authority, for actions that are not only crimes, but are close, if not very close, to being treason. Supplying military weapons to the enemies of the United States, Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, because you want to overthrow Assad? I'm sorry, there's no good side in Syria, whether it's the Assad regime or the people trying to overthrow it. And that's just the reality. And people were telling the Democrats and Obama that over and over again. If they don't listen, that's their problem. Now, with that, I need to close this show because I'm way over. But thank you for listening, and I'll provide a little bit more information on this and other stories tomorrow. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.